You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. Marco.
Okay, Polo.
Marco.
Polo.
Marco.
Polo.
Marco.
Polo.
There you are.
Okay.
Welcome back to the El Arpa Podcast. It's been a while. I think 2 weeks maybe, and we're back with an exciting new edition about polos. Not polo bears, not polo mints, not polo shirts, but polo.
Lollies.
Lollies. So I'm an ice cream man. Confirmed, unrepentant.
Okay.
Like an unrepentant Republicanist. Republican. I'm an unrepentant ice cream eater.
Okay.
How would you describe to our audience the difference between lollies and ice cream?
Well, I think the difference is lollies, normally. As
Wait, one second. This sounds like part two content. So let's put a pin on that and come back to that.
Okay.
So let's continue on with the introduction. Oh, it looks good, Kiel, huh? So welcome back to the El Arpa Podcast. We've been quite busy up on YouTube now, and on El Arpa One Twitter. You can find links to our video about all the shop streets around Madrid, which has been very exciting, where we went to old peluquerias, hairdressers, bars that have been in existence for, well, in some cases for hundreds of years, other cases maybe for decades, and haven't changed their facade. So they look like they looked back in the day, and it's very quite exciting. Your favorite place, of course, was?
The hairdressers.
The hairdressers in Lavapiés. A lot of hairdressers in Lavapiés for some unknown reason. What's interesting is a lot of those hairdressers were run by Spanish people, obviously, back in the 80s and 70s and before that. And now they're still in existence. In some cases, they're hairdressers, but they're run by Africans, reflecting the changing face of Madrid. It's becoming more multicultural, and the kind of current character of Lavapiés as well, which is primarily an immigrant neighborhood full of Africans, Indians, and the odd Irishman. Mm-hmm. So that was what we've been doing video-wise, which was quite nice. Took us a long time to do, maybe a couple of weeks. We had to go to lots of places. We went all over the city from Entrevías to Tribunal and Malasaña to look at a pharmacy. And if you want to see a little boy pooing into a chamber pot and his mother looking over his shoulder, watch the video to find out where that particular place is. So before we go to the next part, is there anything that you want to mention?
No.
Alright then, great. We should have rehearsed this. So now for the musical interlude, and we're back with part two, and with your explanation of the difference between lollies and polos and ice creams.
Cool.
Ice cold. Sorry, the start part two while Mary was drinking, trying to catch her on the hop. What are your thoughts?
About what? Polos?
Polos, yeah. So let's talk about the polos. Am I right in thinking this is an Indian / Latin American dessert? No, I'm completely wrong.
I have no idea. Well, no, it exists everywhere, doesn't it?
I have no idea.
Lollies?
Well, ice lollies, yeah, but like, I mean, I've never tasted anything like these before.
But me. Okay. So, but in what way? The flavor or?
Yes, primarily when I talk about not tasting something before, I'm referring to the flavor as as my number one kind of area of comparison.
Okay, fine. Sorry. Fine, lollies exist everywhere.
Yeah, I'm
but this was a bit funny because the flavors are like not that common. Like for example, lemon and mint.
Okay, that is true. And then yeah, we had lemon and mint today. Last week we had lemon, mint, and melon.
Peach.
They're all the same. Citrus, passion. Fruits, vegetables, I don't know what the fuck they are. Anyway, so...
Peach is a citrus.
Yeah.
And so is melon.
I'm from Ireland. The only fruit we have are potatoes.
Yeah.
So it was actually quite interesting because we went to two. One in La PS, which is the place of today's podcast, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And one that was in Tribunal. And they both seem to be very similar. They have these exotic tastes, these mixtures of tastes. They have... they have them divided between ones that kind of milk and those that don't. So obviously they're there for everybody. And also as well, what else can I say about them? Well, they're all made in house. They're all organic and,
mm-hmm.
and they're not shipped in. They're done in situ. So
yeah.
So it's very artisanal. No? It's very it's a word.
Crafty.
So it's very. It's up my hand. It's very nice.
Handmade. Yeah.
Yeah. Handmade. Whatever. So
giving synonyms.
We're not teaching class right
we're
now.
Student, okay.
So you which did you have? I mean, we had basically the same kind of lolly in the different places.
Yeah.
Today missing peach.
Yes. Peach.
That's the
that famous trick.
So did you prefer the one today or?
Yeah, I definitely prefer the one in Nova PS. Definitely. Could be because of the peach. The peach thing was a bit strange.
Yeah.
So not having the peach was a plus.
Yeah.
And I think also, I'm not sure whether one was, both of them had the sign, I think, in English underneath, or maybe
no,
only one in
La PS was in English.
Only La PS. Okay. All right, well, in that case, I think one said mint and the other one said peppermint.
Yeah.
There's
a big difference between those two.
Yeah, but
this is Madrid. I mean, the translations are always kind of a bit
yeah,
funny.
Exactly. Because honestly, that was one of the other differences for sure.
It's like if you like Harry Potter, which neither of us do, but if you read that book, you can see the amazing flavor combinations they have in the sweet shops and in whatever the name of that town is that they go to. yeah, I know. We're
we've just lost a whole lot of listeners.
For the detail in this one, in this part, but I saw another flavor today, and it was like vanilla and ginger, and I hate ginger. Ginger is a very strong ingredient, so I guess if you like it, it's Flavor City. But I'm not sure. I'm picky.
I didn't even look at those because
really?
They all have milk.
Oh yeah, it's true actually, because you're lactose intolerant.
I'm very intolerant.
Of immigrants and different things. It was a nice place today because it had, I just had a more relaxing vibe, though they were both friendly in both those places.
Yeah, this one was bigger as well. I don't think in the other one you're meant to sit there for very long.
No, we sat very long today. I don't think we're supposed to sit there very long. We actually even started taking professional photos.
Just for the sake of doing something that we're not supposed to do.
Not for the sake of it, because we have a point with this, don't we?
Yes, we actually do.
So
that's
please
gonna
explain.
Go, well, there are corporate pictures.
Okay.
Corporate El Arpa pictures
yeah.
that are gonna go onto our activity dossier.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
And, well, in this case in particular, it's for the route we are preparing of all shops of Madrid.
So not only do we make this video, but we saw a marketing opportunity. So bringing tours around to these different places.
Because somebody must steal the idea before we do.
Perhaps they will, so I'll keep shtum at this moment. And you know what? We're going to throw in a song just for the hell of it in this part. This is still part two, but we're going to come back with more info after this. Not anything, it's not an interlude, it's just a song. It's just a random song. So.
Is it you singing?
No, it's not me. So bear with us and we'll be back very quickly. Back and yeah, I kind of liked it. It was different. The lemon was very bitter. You could really taste it, so it felt like you're eating citric fruit.
Like you're eating peach.
Like you're eating peach. But I don't think I would return and drink from the lolly polo watering hole. I think I prefer the consistency, the flavor of a regular ice cream. I don't know, it's not for me. It's kind of, the reason I said the Indian thing is because I've seen Indian places sell it, and the only other times I've seen kind of ices like this were in Latino places. So maybe it's just a coincidence. I mean, hairdressing wasn't invented in Asia, or nail polishing, but you know, you see a lot of Asian nail polishing places. So, you know, I just might be a coincidence. It makes sense in a way. I don't know what's. It's just very hot today. how would you describe the flavor? Did you like it? I mean, would you prefer this ice cream or what?
I have to say, I'm not a lolly person either. Because yeah. I wasn't allowed.
Thank fuck for that. I don't know. I just felt like saying that. So you weren't allowed. You were banned.
I wasn't allowed when I was a child. I wasn't allowed at all. Up to until I was 18, I couldn't have any lollies.
And then you're like, why? Did your parents think there was alcohol in the
room? No, because my father thought it was like too cold and it was bad for your throat.
But when you're 18, it stops for some reason.
Well, I guess when you're 18, they legally can't stop you.
They can't legally can't stop you when you're 12 either. it's not a cigarette.
Yeah.
And to think you had.
I don't know. Because we never had them, I never really. This is probably like. The third lolly that I have in my life, something like that.
To think you helped that man move house.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
So I was never quite drawn into them. But to be honest, I've never had a full lolly ever.
Yeah, we shared them today.
Yeah, including today.
Yeah, I like desserts.
It's too much. Like,
yeah, I like dessert. I could finish a whole cake if I had
to. Yeah, I could finish an ice cream. But like,
not
a lolly, it's too much.
No me mete. Finish it doesn't rock me enough to finish it.
I feel you.
Yeah, okay, bro. I feel you too, Snoop Madra. Check it. So I don't know if there's any. You did research and location to this. Did you find more places?
Of lollies, it was this too. And in fact, online it talked very well about this second one we've been to in Lavapiés.
They're clearly high quality. If you like them, if you dig them, you'll definitely like those places. But if you're not, clearly enough, if you're not that into them,
the thing is like, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you compare it to a normal lolly, like lollies are like just like color and you know,
yeah.
Just water with like liquid, like
yeah,
red
color.
Color.
Yeah.
But this is actually like, you can say it's proper juice, which in reality is stupid because you can do them with anything. I mean, you could do them in your house.
Yeah.
It's just that it lowers the charges so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all it is, I mean, of course, they're handmade, like it's just water with stuff.
Yeah. You just need a machine.
You don't even need a machine. You just need something square and then you just dip it in and stick it on.
Like an ice cube tray.
It's like an ice cube. It's like a giant ice cube tray.
Yeah.
And all you do is stick the ingredients in with water and then just put a stick in it and that's it.
Well, I don't have any sticks. Where did I get the sticks?
For the Chinese?
Problem solved.
Yeah, there you go. So you can make it for like 50 cents.
So it's like, yeah, it's true. It's like tea. You get charged €2 for tea and you know, you're just paying for the hot water. And tea
Well, exactly. You could buy a whole packet of tea.
I think all restaurants and cafeterias should be shut down because you can clearly make most of the stuff at your home anyway, so what's the point?
Well, no, I think this is just like, I mean, they're expensive because it's fancy. This one in Lavapiés was slightly cheaper than the other one.
Yeah. Like 50 cents cheaper though.
Yeah, 50 cents. Yeah, well, it's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they were larger as well. And apparently these, like, polos, as we call them in Spain, are called paletas.
Sticks. Or like rednecks.
female rednecks. They call it like planks.
Yeah.
That would be a translation of it.
Plank is an insult in English, you know that. You're a plank, you're an idiot. But that's beside the point because those two locations, you're a tool, you're a hammer. So basically, these two places are in Malasaña and in Lavapiés. And I think that is significant in a way because these are two hipster places and Lavapiés is said to be, it's touted as being the new Malasaña where it's going to be gentrified, socially mobile, upward, advancing, improving, all that kind of stuff. And Malasaña was like was poorer before, and now it's kind of more upmarket and trendy.
Yeah, definitely.
And that process is happening in Loud OPS now as well. So I think the fact, if you find an ice lolly shop in your area, you've just been gentrified.
It's a sign of like incoming capitalism.
More or less. And the fact that the price is good, is decent, I think is actually a very important point as well, because there are places in the barrio, in the neighbourhood, that actually do charge high prices because they know that Lava PS has become this trendy area, but it's still kind of a dump in lots of respects. I love it, I live here, it's great, but you know, it's scandalously charging, you know, Manhattan prices for a place that needs a serious facelift, you know. So I think,
yeah, but even $2.40 for like flavoury water
is scandalous.
It's quite expensive.
Oh, very expensive, yeah. So the history of the city, of the urbanization, can be linked to the history of the development of ice lolly shops. And in the same way, human history can be linked to the history of beer. Can it not be Dr. Correas?
Yes, don't either. But that leads us onto the next topic, doesn't it?
It does. That was what we call a segue.
You might
see segues in your city with some American tourists falling over them, but this is another type of segue. So we are writing a play together, which you've never done before. I'm a successful playwright, it has to be said. You translate some of my plays, and they usually haven't been performed.
So, anyways,
lost in translation. But don't worry, you know what, we're going to do something different. We're going to actually write a play in English together about Spanish bars. And this all came, like most of our great ideas, from you, it has to be said.
So, thank you.
You're welcome, Doctor. So can you explain where the idea came from?
Well, I think we've kind of mentioned in previous podcasts about the bar and how we find it quite, or maybe in the videos, how we find it like quite a fascinating place and quite like the center of social activities, both in Spain and in Ireland in different ways, but essentially, you know, like a meeting point where lots of things happen and historically and culturally and just, I don't know, it's kind of like a little bubble of society.
It's a microcosm, no?
Society. That's exactly what I was after.
I know. Oh, I know. That's why I said it. So that is interesting because you saw a movie as well where a bar was a central feature of the story. And it's interesting because you said that they wanted to make the film in this bar. The bar owner refused because the bar would effectively be closed down for 2 months. He was worried about losing customers after it reopened. It was very similar to a story about an Irish bar during the filming of Ryan's Daughter, where they wanted to basically buy parts of the bar. He said, no, this bar has been here before you. It'll be here after you as well. And this anecdote is coming to you via the podcast, but it comes from the Irish movie The Irish Pub. Which is a fascinating documentary, which is, I think, 72 minutes, more or less, so like an hour and 12 minutes. And it's a little bit long, it can be a little bit bloated, so it could be reduced a little bit by maybe 10 minutes, but actually it's jam-packed with great stories about the Irish pub and what it represented for the community as well. And like you say, it's a focal point for that community, for people to meet and know their neighbours and to talk and to pass news. And it was the feature of lots of things related to war, politics, and even matchmaking between two different families who wanted to marry their daughter to a son, and organizing the different details of those arrangements. So as a place of to see kind of the ins and outs of society, it's amazing because there's a pub in Tralee, there's many pubs featured in this documentary, and I forgot to tell you this part. There's John B. Keane, was a great Irish playwright who's dead now. And he has a bar, which is still in existence, run by his sons, John B. Keane. And when he died, there was a journalist outside the bar, and he asked the guy who was a regular in the bar, can you give me a statement about John B. Keane? And he said, he was the smartest man I knew, because he made us talk, and then he wrote it down. So basically he got all his stories and all his plays from the characters.
Just like you.
Just like me, yeah. So they came off the street, literally came off the street, and maybe a year or 2 years later they were there in one way, shape or form as a character in his plays. He's famous for The Field, which also takes place in the bar as well, and The Field, obviously. And also he's famous for plays like The Matchmaker, which are very funny takes and very funny comedies about particular characters in the Irish scene. And we'll be writing a play kind of focusing on that, and I'm really looking looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it too.
I think one of the reasons we wanted to write this play is because I think we both feel, even though it's been a central component of art and culture and just daily life, it hasn't really been a protagonist in many forms of culture, whether it be plays or poems or whatever. You might have short poems about being drunk, and they're usually just kind of funny things about that. You know, I was drunk and this happened, and that goes back to even ancient Greek lyric poetry, so it's definitely not a new thing. But do you feel like that the place of the bar is well represented in different art forms?
Well, I think, as you said, it's like partial aspects of it. And obviously it's the setting for many things, and the excuse for example, for these like movies, that recent Spanish movies that we were talking about. But the interesting thing that I thought was that in all of them, the bar is kind of like the reference point. So it's almost like a character in it. In fact, in one of the movies, it actually, when it presents the character, it actually says the bar as well.
Yeah.
So all that is hinting at its importance, but I don't think it's, there's ever been a focus on like this idea of like, you know, micro cosmos that you were talking about before.
This
analysis from different points.
Because there's two articles written in the last year, by one in the New Scientist, I think, and one in the National Geographic. And the National Geographic one is a mammoth of an article. It's very, very long. It interviews a beer master in Germany. And, you know, he gives a potted history of the history of beer, which is the history of humanity. But it struck me that even in these very wordy news, magazines and articles, there's not really much you can say specifically. They mention Greek forums where you got tree drinks, and that was a way to inspire creativity and talking about poetry and philosophy and different things. And how even in Celtic society, you know, towns flourish where there are taverns and bars, and they drink copious amounts of alcohol. They did the calculations on one town that they discovered recently, and it was staggering how much wine they drank. And the wine is just for upper classes, so one can only imagine that even more beer and mead and those kind of rougher concoctions were drank. But it's funny because they mentioned as well, like, that gorillas and monkeys, you know, there's a kind of popular joke, you know, the drunk monkey walking around the forest after eating fermented fruit. But there's never really been evidence of that. But it is true that even going back way back when, that primates used to eat fermented fruit because it is good for you, and so we're kind of predisposed to eating it and kind of taking it in, and it's full of calories. It is good for you. Guinness is good for you, is a famous slogan, and also until very recently in our history, it was much safer to drink than water. But what struck me about these articles was that they couldn't really go into very specific. So a lot of it was very general, and it kind of just reinforces what we both think, that as a concept, as an idea, it's not fully developed in any place. You know, it's never really just front and center. Even when it is front and center as a part of analysis, it's kind of going everywhere, going through all human history, and it doesn't really focus on anything that you can truly grasp, because you're just talking about general things. Well, it's good for community and for society, and prompting poetry, but it's very hard to get a strong grasp of those concepts in relation to the alcohol and the development of this in human history. Even though you can understand it, of course, intellectually, it's very hard to kind of demonstrate it with a very fixed gaze or in a very fixed way. So I think that's kind of why we want to write the play as well. Just kind of get it down on paper and have it kind of more front and center. And just because it's just a project to do as well. Okay, so I think that's it for part two. Quite a long one, and I think we've touched on many different topics. So we're back, of course, invariably, inevitably, indubitably, with
part three.
Thank you.
Welcome back to part three.
Done like a pro. Well done. Amazing. So you are so good at saying welcome to part three. That is kind of me singing a little bit to the tune of You Are So Beautiful.
Well,
yeah, literally no response. Okay, so we hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Stay tuned, as I said at the start of the show, for our video, and we'll be posting updates about the play as and when they happen. And you can check our back catalog on the Opinion Podcast page, mm-hmm. and also the podcast app on any Android mm-hmm. store. And also soon we'll be uploading our podcast to the Apple iTunes.
You can even check our website,
lrpa.net, which will be updated with our updated photographs as well. And I think that's everything.
That's everything.
Yeah. Fancy going for a point.
Let's go.
Nice one. Bottoms up. You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast.